Don't look back when the market is closed. Good Tuesday afternoon, everyone. Kip Herridge here with the Daily Bear Investing Podcast. Hope you had a good day today. Lots to talk about here, but really some primary topics that we really want to hit on today because it's driving all the action right now, and that is Bitcoin. That is small caps. What's taking place there, we think, is a major move developing here. We're starting to see a major turn here. The action of small caps, I think, surprised a lot of people. We'll talk about that a little bit because, again, this market is broadening. We see clear signs. It can't be contested. You can no longer say this is a thin market. We'll talk about that a little bit. This is very bullish news, by the way. And really good internals today. Again, market broadening. It's what you expect to see. It's happening. Rich Ross, the Rain Man, technical Rain Man, the quant, if you will, over at Evercore, raises his bullish targets both for this year and next year for the S&P 500 and for some of our favorite areas, semis, techs, Tesla, and Bitcoin as well. Again, when some of the best in the business, Rich Ross is one of the best in the business. He's been right as rain. And we see things the same way. When we're lined up together with Rich Ross, we feel pretty good about our researching, and he remains incredibly bullish. And folks, the biggie, you know, this is a structural, we talk about it so often, don't we? This is a structural bull market of size and scope. We've been talking about this now for over a year and a half. By the time we put out the big bribe, we called the bottom of the bear market on October 13th, 2022, which we called to the day. And we've been aggressively long since then. It's been the right play, and it will continue to be the right play because, again, as a structural bull market, I'll talk a little bit about what that means because this is not being driven by phony baloney tech gains. This isn't being driven by greed, greed, greed. This isn't being driven by Wall Street hedge funds and the big guys driving stocks higher, folks. This is being driven by a fundamentally, structurally, not just sound, remarkably sound U.S. economy, remarkably strong U.S. consumer. Matter of fact, that's the better story. And a stock market that is being forced higher as earnings are forced higher. This is a beautiful setup for a continued move higher. And we'll talk about all this. Let's get into it. First of all, the markets today. Again, you know, we reached these extreme overbought levels like we did last week. We have a couple days where we might go down a little bit or maybe we go sideways. Remember, there was a lot of trepidation about the NVIDIA earnings. And of course, we came out of that rip-roaring higher. But these short-term pauses, these short-term shakeouts, they really help our markets because we go from extreme overbought. Once you have a pause for 2 or 3 days, then all of a sudden those overbought conditions are gone, and now this market can resume its way higher. The rubber band gets stretched too tight, you're going to have a reaction to that. This is a healthy textbook action in a bull market. So again, Dow Jones today did finish lower, but off the lows, we were down by as much as 175 points, finishing down just 96 points of the day. It was our only loser on the day, down 0.25%. Our biggest winner today, again, small caps, Russ 2000, up 1.4%. It led yesterday, led again today. That's four straight days for IWM being higher. That has not happened this year. Let me make a note of that, because I want to write that up in tomorrow's letter. Yeah, so that's good. That's good to see. A lot of people thought that today they'd give it back. The futures were higher, right? Starting it to, when I got up early this morning at about 2:30. Hard to sleep with Bitcoin, folks. I got to tell you, it makes it very hard to sleep with this 24-hour trading, especially when it's surging like it is. I think a lot of you know what I'm talking about. But from the very second that futures opened trading, futures were higher. For small caps. And so we right out of the gate, we were strong. Even when the market got hit, small caps held their ground, stayed up at least 1% all day. Again, finishing up on the day, 1.3% at the highs today. Really good smart money hour again today. We're getting these about 90% of the time now. Again, it's another big bullish bragging point. A strong smart money hour. The open is for amateurs. The closes are for professionals. This is the way I've always been taught to look at it. I think it's very true. The pros sell the open and the pros buy the close. That has been a winning strategy for a long time. We saw it again today. Again, Russell 2000, our winner on the day, up 1.3%. Also, NASDAQ. NASDAQ got hit midday. Boom. Like a freight train comes roaring back. NASDAQ finishing up 0.4% as well. The only negative today, really, besides the small losses in Dow Jones, were the semiconductors, which finished down 0.4%. Look, obviously they've been a house of fire. Semis have led from the exact bear market bottom in October of 2022. They are the tell. There is no more important tell than the semis. So we don't want to see more than a day or two of weakness. Then we start, especially compared to the broad market, then we thought maybe leadership is changing. And that might impact us a little bit. But folks, right now we're at, on our Vero investing system, we're at 10 out of 12 screens bullish. We've only, the highest it's ever been has been 11 of 12. So we're right there. And that means we've got many months ahead of us of a bull market just based on the structure of the VR investing system, unless something shocks us out of the blue. Also, some really good data, some good analytics. Tyler covered this yesterday. I'm gonna mention it again here today because it's so important. We are now one day away. Tomorrow's the last day of February, of course. We're now one day away. Wait a minute, it's a leap year. We have one more day in February. My bad. What is going on here with my calendar? Regardless, we're almost at the end of February. This has been, again, another great month. Folks, what this is going to mean is we're going to have four straight months of gains in the S&P 500. This is November, December, January, February. Incredibly bullish. And the analytics are spectacularly bullish when this happens. It's happened 14 times since 1950. In these 14 times over the next year, the market's been higher every single time, 14 out of 14, 100% of the time, with average gains of 17.4%. So the analytics have been solid now for the entirety, really, of this bull market, but they've really been good over the last five quarters. And markets have done essentially what they're supposed to do, except, by the way, for this month. February was not supposed to be a great month, and, of course, it's been another great one now. But, again, the analytics point to further gains. It just reinforces our bullish position on this market. And when that changes, we'll let you know. And we'll be, obviously, we'll be taking profits and making some bearish bets at that point. But again, that's a story for a long ways out. We're in the roaring 2020s. This bull market really still is in its infancy. Remember, just second year of a bull market. There's so many people getting panicky, so many people calling a top. Never in my career have I seen more people calling a top just when you get to all-time highs. That's not the way this works. We're going to have 20 or 30 all-time highs just this year in the markets. And again, there'll be a lot more next year. So bull markets last a long time. This one is just getting started. Anybody that's calling a top here, now there's a difference between calling a top, between saying they expect some profit taking or they think we could have a shakeout. But there are still people saying that the top is in. And or we're right near it. And I just don't know what they're looking at. But that's not the way the markets work. Again, new bull market, by the second year, bull market has been higher every year. Again, more powerful analytics. So here we go. Let's keep this party going. We fully expect that to be the case. But Bitcoin is a story. Bitcoin is small caps. By the way, a lot of fund flows coming into small caps. Tyler covered that yesterday. You got to remember, small caps, which now, by the way, are just IWM is one point away from hitting a 52-week high. Small caps are on the verge of breaking out, but at the same time, they're still 16 to 17% below all-time highs. So, you know, again, we've had all-time highs in Dow Jones, all-time highs in S&P 500, all-time highs in NASDAQ 100. We've not yet had all-time highs in the Russell 2000. We'll get there, but that means the market's giving us a gift. We said this a long time ago, didn't we? The markets, if you've yet to get all-time highs in the new bull market, the market's giving you a gift because you're going to get there. Again, all things being equal. And that means we've got 16% to go from here in the Russell 2000 to get to all-time highs. That's why it continues to be a very set bet. I think it's actually the best play on the board now. And we are aggressively long small caps. Again, their leadership today was stellar. and we think it will continue. Bitcoin, let's talk about this now, because again, another all-time high, excuse me, another new 52-week high today, 57,300 in that range. Right now, we're just a bit below 57,000, but these fund flows that are coming in from the ETFs that the SEC approved, I mean, these are stunning numbers. The SEC approved 9 Bitcoin ETFs. So far, they have purchased, this doesn't include today, by the way, we'll have those numbers out here in a little bit. So far, these ETFs have bought 294,000 Bitcoin. 294,000, that's in 31 days. Folks, that's $16 billion in purchases from these ETFs. So when we talk about this being the best supply-demand story on the planet, which we've labeled Bitcoin as for a very long time, which is why we've been so incredibly bullish on Bitcoin for such a long time, when we call it the best supply-demand story on the planet, it's a scarcity value. Again, it really is a very simple story to understand. Now that it's approved by the SEC, now it's been given legitimacy, we know the facts, right? They're never going to print more than 21 million Bitcoin. Every 4 years, they do a halving. We've got one coming up here in April. It's now less than 50 days away. And the average moves coming out of these halvings has just been extraordinary. Again, we've talked about this often here, but the numbers, you know, tend to all blended in together. So let's focus on this for a second. After the 2012 Bitcoin halving, Bitcoin went up 7,900%. You've made 79 times your money in a year. And the second Bitcoin halving in 2016, you would have made 29 times your money in 18 months. In the last halving, it's only been 3, this will be the 4th. In the last halving in 2020, you would have made 7 times your money in 18 months. So it's interesting because, as a lot of people have noted, this is kind of the time frame where Bitcoin has been weak. Going, you know, in the month or two leading up to the halving, Bitcoin has typically been weak. What's the difference now? SEC approval, and ETF purchasing. That's the difference. And now the hodlers have no interest in selling whatsoever. Matter of fact, we just keep buying because we know that 80% of people that own Bitcoin, my hands in the air, 80% of the people that own Bitcoin have no interest in selling it. And so that means very little supply is left for this massive demand that's coming in. So when I say things like, I think it's likely that Bitcoin will break 100,000 by the halving, that's not hyperbole. That's not an exaggeration. That is actually what I believe is going to happen. And folks, this move could be stunningly parabolic. It has clearly gone parabolic now. I will note, Bitcoin has hit our most overbought designation in the VR investing system. We call it extreme overbought on steroids. Bitcoin is there. The question is, will it matter? The question is, will it matter? It usually does, because whenever in the past I've said it doesn't matter, it's going higher, regardless of a hot stock or whatever, I always get slapped in the face by my own investing system that reminds me what an idiot I am for forgetting the system that I built. So I just want to put that out there. As bullish as we are on Bitcoin, it is extreme overbought. Wouldn't surprise me to have a shakeout. We just had one, didn't we? We just had a shakeout. Bitcoin dropped back to 50,000, and that was just a few days ago. Now it's at 57,000. So I'm not saying it's going to last a long time, but I wouldn't be surprised to have another shakeout. But again, the demand is so high. I'm confused here. I'm perplexed. I'm befuddled. I don't know what's going to happen in the very short term, but I have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen longer term. And yes, at some point, Bitcoin will hit $1 million. I just can't tell you when, but I kind of think it's going to be a lot sooner than most people think. This is an extraordinary story that everyone should know. As we've said here for so long, you don't have to put your life savings in it. You don't have to sell all your gold and buy Bitcoin with it. No one's saying that. Put $1,000 into Bitcoin. Buy one of these new ETFs that you don't feel comfortable opening a wallet account and buying, if you will, quote unquote, physical Bitcoin. Just buy one of these ETFs. We recommend ARKB, Cathie Wood's ARK ETF, one of the 9 approved. Again, symbols ARKB. We recommend that one because we're big fans of Cathie Wood and what they're doing over at ARK. But buy anyone you want. We don't make a penny from it. I'm just saying, buy $5 worth, buy $100, buy $1,000, whatever you want to put in. Because when your wallet's in it, your heart's in it. You buy a little bit of something that makes you more curious. You start, I know our group's very smart here, but this is just the message we tell everybody here, that, you know, from our TV radio appearances, of course, our VRA letter, our weekly blog, just encourage people to buy a little bit. You'll start learning more. You'll become more comfortable. You'll start increasing the size of your position. I think it's really smart that people do that, because this Bitcoin is real and it is going a hell of a lot higher. You know, I just mentioned this because investor sentiment is so important. When the market bottomed in October of 22, I started running Twitter polls, which I like to do. And I wasn't surprised when 90% of the people said the market's going to go lower, because everybody was calling for a crash then, right? It had been a brutal time. We had three bear markets in 5 years, been brutal. Everyone said the market's going lower. We called a capitulation. We called the bottom. We disagreed with everybody. But 90% of people in our polls, time after time, said, no, market's going lower. Even a year later, when the market has zoomed higher, the majority of people in my Twitter polls, like 60%, 70% of people, still saying, no, we're going lower. So again, investor sentiment is a powerful thing. It's a powerful market timing force. So I say all that because of this. I just ran a Twitter poll. Twitter, 71% of respondents, 71% said they do not own Bitcoin. And I know from talking to a lot of these people, they have no interest in, I know from my Twitter account, I know from multiple polls and from seeing a lot of feedback in the community, a lot of sentiment on this, that there are just a lot of people that will never buy Bitcoin. They think it's a scam, it's going to get hacked. Maybe they're right. Maybe that's all going to happen. But in the meantime, folks, Bitcoin's up 140%. In the last year. So, you know, again, there's a way to alleviate risk by diversification. Number one, also you can put stops in, you know, if it starts to fall, you can sell. It's got liquidity, 24-hour liquidity. So you're not limited to what your options are. The point being though, even with this massive move higher, the fact that so many people still want nothing to do with Bitcoin, believe they don't own it, they don't want to own it. That to me says probably more than anything else. The investor sentiment continues to be lukewarm at best. So it'll probably take a move through 100,000 on Bitcoin before investors really start changing their mind. That's my best guess. And again, that'll be a sell signal, of course, for the rest of us, or at least a time to take some profits or maybe buy some puts to hedge, etc. But that's the way investor sentiment works. And I think it's really going to be a great guide for us in owning and participating in this Bitcoin phenomenon, is what the majority of the public does. When they fall in love with it, we will not want to own it, at least for a while. But again, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, you know, this market's going to keep going higher for a lot of reasons. But the biggest reason of all is, yeah, we are in the roaring 2020s. You know, we've got, it's a magical time to be an investor. We've said this for a long time. Think about all the cool things happening now, innovation revolution. We've got Bitcoin. These are all separate topics, by the way. Bitcoin, cryptos, different topics, subset of, right? Blockchain, different topic. Tokenization is taking place, different topic. Folks, it's not going to be long before anything and everything that you care about buying, including a home, real estate, you name it, stocks, it's all going to be on the blockchain. Everything's going to be on the blockchain. Everything will be tradable 24/7. Liquidity will be instant. The days of having to go through all the trouble we have to go to buy a home, to buy real estate, those days will be gone. Now, soon, I should say, we'll have the ability to buy fractional interest in all of these things, just like we buy fractional interest right now in companies, right, through shares. Well, through the blockchain and through cryptocurrencies, we'll be able to have fractional ownership of essentially any asset that wants to put itself up for at least a portion of its total value, to have it fractionalized or tokenized. And so, again, this is an incredible time to be alive, because the future is starting to get closer, isn't it? You know, the future is starting to come into our frame of view. And we're starting to get a little sneak peek on what it's going to look like, and it's pretty exciting. In the meantime, as I said earlier, structural bull market of size and scope. I just got to repeat it for our new folks. All-time highs in stocks, all-time highs home prices, all-time highs net equity in homes, all-time highs consumer net worth. One-third of homeowners have no mortgage on their home. These are all records. And we learned today, home prices hit another all-time high for the 11th straight month. This is only going to pick up speed. Talk about a structural bull market of size and scope. That's the housing market, right? Not enough supply, too much demand. Rates are going to start coming lower. Although, does it look like the economy needs lower rates? It kind of doesn't, does it? Remember, during the 95 to 2000 dot-com melt-up, the average 10-year yield was better than 5%. We spent a lot of time over 6%. And tech stocks and the rest of the market melted up, primarily tech stocks, melted up. So, again, you got to be careful you listen to these fear mongers that say that we're going to have a crash because of this, that, government debt, rates are too high, inflation is too high. Ask to see their investment results before you listen to them, instead of just trying to scare you out of your positions, right? And then another, again, another big part of this structural bull market is what's happening in the economy and consumers. Again, consumers have rarely, if ever, been in better financial condition than they are now. Over the last 15 years, consumers have and American companies have cut their debt by 25%. To disposable income and market cap, and corporate debt to market cap sits at 50-year low. So the ability to lever up is significant. These are the things we see at the beginning of economic expansions, not the end, but at the beginning of economic. It's really key points to understand this. So with the innovation revolution, just in the early innings, maybe inning one even, when we look back on this, we continue here at the BRA, continue to see this as the single best opportunity for significant wealth creation since the 95 to 2000 melt up. Stay locked in, stay focused, keep buying dips, pay attention to what the market's telling you it wants to do, because the market speaks to us loudly. It does it weekly, daily, monthly. Just pay attention to it. It does that a lot by the internals, which we're going to cover here in just a moment. What else today? I can read my own handwriting. All right, let's get to the internals today. Again, I mentioned this at the top of the podcast here. Dow Jones at one point was down 175 points, and I pulled the internals up, and I'm like, "What? These are so strong, and they finished strong as well." NYSE up volume 72%, NASDAQ up volume 74%. It's a very good readings here. Okay, typically we see these kind of readings on the markets up a lot more than this. This is a market that's broadening, is exactly what we want to see. We also saw with the internals and the advanced decline. Advanced decline today, NYSE was positive by only about 400 issues, but was positive. Again, Dow down today. NASDAQ had a positive advanced decline of 2-1. And here's another biggie, by the way. New 52-week highs and lows. You remember how long a stretch we went through where we had more 52-week lows than highs, but somehow the market kept going up? That was a tell, right? Well, here's a more important tell. Or not more important tell, but also equally important tell. Today we had 428 stocks hit a new 52-week high, just 81 hit a new 52-week low. These numbers are starting to grow. I believe that within a week or two, we see this move higher continuing. Again, not that we won't have shakeouts, some short-term pauses, overall, that kind of thing. Remember, we're talking about a little longer term here. I believe we're going to get back to some heady days of seeing more than 1,000 stocks hit new 52-week highs. And I think that's closer than people really realize. And again, this market is clearly broadening out. That's a very important point, primarily because it just hadn't for so long, and now that it is. Another important point. Look what's happening to a lot of these magnificent seven stocks. Again, Tyler's been talking about this. You got stocks that are down, not just a little, but a lot. Apple, which is the general, at least it used to be the general, okay? Probably still is. The high was 199. It's 182. It's below the 50-day moving average. Google has been getting slaughtered because of this ridiculous AI chat program they have called Gemini. They deserve to be slaughtered. They deserve to have every investor sell their stock that owns it for this racist. What do you call an AI chat box, chatbot that is completely malfunctioned. It's broken. It's a little concerning about our future with robots, is it not? Wow, I'm sure you've read the stories like that have been going public here, because Google unleashed something on the public that was not ready to be unleashed. Horrible search results, just completely racist, bad info. It's basically lying to the public. How is that even possible? It was programmed incorrectly, programmed wrongly, on purpose, right? It's not a, the flaw is not a, it's not a flaw, it's a feature. That's what Google is all about here. And it's good to see their stock, another Magnificent Seven stock, getting hit hard. High was 153, it's down to 138. So again, Tesla is one of my favorite stocks. Most of you probably know this for a long, long time. Tesla is down big time. It's a Magnificent Seven stock. The market keeps going up. So again, the market's broadening. We see it in small caps. We see it in mid caps. Again, I'm stressing this because I want to make sure people understand this is extraordinarily bullish what's happening here. This is extraordinarily bullish. This means the market's going to go a whole lot higher if this action continues, which we expect that it will. And our sector watch today, pretty good day here. Could have been better, but pretty good day. Eight sectors finished higher, three finished lower. Actually, a very good day. The ones that finished lower, barely lower. But to the upside here, we had utilities up. Interesting with the yields up again today. 10-year at 4.31%. Utilities today up 1.9%. Communication services up 1%. Materials up 0.4%. Outside of that, not a lot going on. Kind of a quiet day, kind of like yesterday was. Better action today than yesterday, but still kind of quiet. Not a lot happening in our sectors. But again, good to see 8 of 11 sectors finishing higher on the day. And our commodity watch, talk about quiet. Again, all the action is Bitcoin. Gold has been trading better than probably most people think. Gold's $130 away from an all-time high, but it's still, it's been forgotten next to Bitcoin. There's just no question about it. For short-term purposes, no doubt about it. Gold, $2,039 an ounce, up 0.5% on the day. Copper, silver, down 6 pennies a day at $22.66 an ounce. Copper today, up 1 penny a pound at $3.85 a pound. Crude oil, up 95 cents a barrel at $78.53. Fantastic, both fundamentals and technicals for this group. We love energy stocks here, and with demand coming back from China, That means oil demand is going to come back too. So don't be surprised, folks, when the oil's knocking on $100 a barrel again by the end of this year. And these energy stocks are really going to rip roar higher. Finally on the day, Bitcoin. Let's get a fresh quote here. Last trade, 56,700, up 11% in the last 24 hours. Again, we think the move continues. All right, folks. Hey, always appreciate you listening. Hope you had a great day and a better night. We'll see you back here again tomorrow after the close.